This is Chapel for October the 3rd, 1963. Mr. Roland E. Crowder of the Baptist Sunday School Board will be our speaker.
Nothing now is when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, who has taught us to make prayers and supplications and to give thanks, receive the prayers which we offer unto thee. Grant to those of us who worship here an open mind and a sense of reverence, that we may hear and receive thy holy word and continue to serve thee in righteousness. Give comfort to those who are troubled by sorrow, need, or sickness. Restore the voice of joy and gladness within us, so that our lips may proclaim thy righteousness and sing thy praise. We pray in the name of him who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We are happy to have sharing in our worship this morning Dr. Roland Crowder, who is consulted in the Church Architecture Department of the Baptist Sunday School Board in Nashville, Tennessee. Dr. Crowder has served in this position for the past 11 years. Prior to this, he has served as pastor and an educational worker in churches in Alabama, Louisiana, and Arkansas. He has received the Master of Religious Education and the Doctor of Religious Education degree from the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. We are happy to have him with us, and we hear him gladly.
Thank you, Mr. Smith, and friends, members of the faculty, and the student body, for this opportunity of being with you today and tomorrow to represent the cause of church buildings and the Church Architecture Department of the Baptist Sunday School Board. I bring you greetings this morning from your Baptist Sunday School Board and especially from the Church Architecture Department. Mr. W.A. Harrell, the Secretary of the Department, sends his personal greetings. He asks that I convey them to you and say that he thinks often of you here and your work, and he looks forward to coming back again and being in your midst in the future. May I direct our thinking this morning along a line of thought suggested to us in God's Word. It will not be my purpose to give an exposition of this passage of Scripture, but I trust it shall suggest a theme for these moments of meditation, which shall be helpful to us for this day. Reading from Genesis, the 28th chapter, beginning at verse 16. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place! This is none other but the house of God and the gate of heaven. And Jacob rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows and set it up for a pillar and poured oil upon the top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city was called Luz at the first. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, "If God will be with me and will keep me in the way that I go and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God, and this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee." I'm sure this scripture passage has suggested many thoughts for sermons and meditations. It shall not be my purpose this morning to discuss the matter of stewardship, which has been the theme of many a discussion growing out of this passage. Neither shall be it my choice to talk on vows, for many times this has been the line of thought pursued after the reading of this scripture. But rather, I choose this morning to guide our thinking along the subject of God's house, a dedicated house. We think of church houses today as sacred places, dedicated to certain purposes and work in accordance with the will of God. Usually one of the first acts or one of the first services to take place in a newly constructed house of God today is the dedication service, a service which seemingly sets that house apart and identifies it in the community as a place dedicated to God's purposes and wills in the lives of the men and the women and those living in that community. That it may be a constant reminder to those who pass by from day to day that there are people in that community concerned about that community to the extent that they have been willing to provide a house that can be identified as God's house in the midst of that area. God's house is a dedicated house, dedicated to the service and to the work of our Lord. There are multiplied activities which take place in God's house that make up the total program. And every element making up that total program should be so conducted that it will reveal some divine emphasis, that it will reveal some divine dedication upon the hearts of those who assemble there to pledge themselves and to cooperate together to the advancement of the cause of Christ in that community. We as Southern Baptists have every right to be proud of the program of our denomination, and we should seek to keep it a program which will magnify and advance the cause of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I realize it is relatively easy for those of us who have dedicated our talents and our time to the promotion of erecting and constructing houses of worship. It's easy for us to see the relationship between these houses and the program that takes place inside. In fact, religion was a motivating force in early architecture. Man soon learned to apply the elemental techniques of construction to the task of providing a place that would shelter the objects of his worship. This relationship was destined to bear fruit to the extent that some of the most profound achievements in the realm of architecture have been religious in nature. We recognize architecture in the truest sense of the form seeks to apply itself to the need at hand and apply and produce an adequate structure in harmony with that need. Sir Winston Churchill has said, "We shape our buildings, thereafter they shape us." And how true that is with regard to a church building. For sooner or later, the activities taking place inside that house which has been erected will take the form and the attitude and the shape of that structure. Hence, we should recognize the importance of dedicating our hearts and minds to the task of providing church structures which will lend themselves to our dedicated purposes and work in accordance with God's will. A glance at several facets making up our program as a denomination this morning should serve as a reminder for the need of dedicated houses and programs. We recognize God's house as a place dedicated primarily to the proclamation of the gospel, the word of God, to the end that men and women and boys and girls shall hear that word and come to find Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. I think it would be interesting this morning if I should say to you that in surveying the 10 largest churches in our denomination, we found that these churches had periods in their life and ministry which were dedicated to building the house. We discovered that in a period of 12 months to 18 years following a major building program in these leading churches, that these churches baptized the greatest number of people in their history. In the first period of a year to 18 months following the occupancy of these new buildings. Hence, that says to us there is a relationship to providing a place and proclaiming the word and reaching people and baptizing converts. In like manner, a recent survey has been made by the Church Architecture Department, and 72 churches from 20 states have reported that when educational buildings have been provided, that the increase in evangelism and baptisms comes up tremendously. And that these churches in like manner baptize more people than they have at any other period in their history. We further recognize God's house as a place dedicated to the cause of missions at home and around the world. There's some today who seem to be inclined to say that we are building too many church houses, that we are spending too much money in the erection of church buildings, that we are borrowing too much money for the construction of church houses. They are saying we are doing this at the expense of missions. But may I show to you this morning that just the opposite of this is true, and that the churches spending money and building buildings are the churches that are promoting the cause of missions around the world. A close look at the record would indicate several things of interest. Dr. Herschel Hobbs, a past president of our Southern Baptist Convention, gives this testimony concerning the First Baptist Church of Oklahoma City. For a 10-year period marked by numerous building efforts, Dr. Hobbs says, at the outset of this decade of building and improvement and the securing of property, we vowed that we would not build, we would not expand facilities at the cost of our mission program. And during that 10-year period, the First Baptist Church of Oklahoma City spent in excess of $2 million purchasing property, building educational space, enlarging worship facilities, and providing a physical plant for its great program of work. At the beginning of that decade, the contributions for all causes in the annual budget of that church amounted to $190,000. At the conclusion of that period of time, after the expenditure of that vast sum in the improvement of physical facilities, the first annual report to the association revealed an annual contribution to missions of $199,987, or almost $10,000 more than the total budget of that church for all causes 10 years prior. I mentioned a moment ago the survey the Church Architecture Department made of 72 churches in 20 states, or at least 72 churches responded and sent in the questionnaire. We asked these churches to give us the record prior to their major building program and then the record following these building programs. And especially were we concerned about the answers to the questions concerning missionary work. We found that 72 of these churches reported a total contribution to missions prior to their building programs of $835,304. Or 17% of their total budget going to missions. In the year after the completion of these building programs, these same churches reported contributions to missions of $1,669,379, or an increase of 99% in contributions to missions. There are some of you here this morning in this chapel service, receiving training here in this institution because you have dedicated your heart, you have dedicated your life, you have yielded to the call of Christ to answer the call to a mission field somewhere. There are men and women this morning that are stationed on our mission fields around the world because in a community somewhere in our land here in America today, some little group, some congregation dedicated a house, they provided a place, they proclaimed the gospel, and these men and women responded to the gospel call. They accepted Christ as a personal Savior, and then they heard the call of God in which God laid His hand upon them and said, "You go to the mission field," and they're out there today witnessing and ministering because someone provided a place and someone provided a program in order that they might be won and sent forth. A church bulletin back some 2 months ago in August had a story on the back of it. A story that gives an echo from Mombasa, Asia, of a 21-year-old native who came and made a confession of his faith and claimed Christ as his personal Savior. And he said, "I thought no one cared for my soul until you came to the missionaries, Pierce and Tope, who had witnessed to him." I want to give you the prelude to Charles A. Tope this morning, a missionary on the foreign field. A little church over in Arkansas was in a little community that was in a sad state of repair. And this congregation decided the best way to do what it ought to do was to build a new building. And so a new building was constructed. And even before that building was complete, a revival meeting was held inside its walls. And there came into that revival meeting members of a certain family, the Tope family, a father and a mother, and Charles, the missionary today, and then two or three other children, daughters, who came into that meeting. One night as invitation was given, one of the sisters, Mary Lee, and Charles Tope walked the aisle. They came forward confessing Christ as their personal Savior. They asked for baptism at the hands of that church. The father and mother were members of a church of another denomination, and they stayed back. They wouldn't come. The mother said, "I refuse to come and ask for baptism. I'm satisfied with my church membership." The father said, "I want to come with my children and be baptized." But he said, "I'll wait a while longer." And then in another service, one of the other daughters came and made her profession of faith. They were baptized, these three children. The father and mother and these children continued to come to the services, to the Sunday school, to the work in that church, continued to come. Finally, the father said to the mother one day, "I've stood it as long as I can. I feel like my membership should be in the church where my children are members." He said, "I'm going, and you can stay back if you like." So he went alone, and the mother didn't come. But in the months and the years that came and went, that followed, finally the mother came and other children of that family came and found Christ as their personal Savior. And then the whole family was in that church. Today, from that family, Charles Tope is on the foreign mission field. Mr. Tope, the father, has been a volunteer lay preacher to minister in some of the 30,000 movement churches out in Kansas and Missouri. And two of these daughters in this family are wives today of area missionaries in Illinois and Michigan today, simply because a congregation cared enough to provide a place and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in order that this family could be one. And on we could go telling the story of how men and women today are out in response to God's call because a congregation had a concern and a compassion and provided a place in order that the work of God could be carried on. Sometimes people say to us in the church architecture department, how can you go about across the land and how can you encourage people to invest millions of dollars in church buildings? I think we find the answer in that men and women are one and the cause of Christ is made to prosper. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we give thee thanks today for the ministry of thy word. We give thee thanks today for those who are in this assembly here this morning who have dedicated their lives to go as missionaries, who have dedicated their lives to stand as ministers in pulpits across the land, who have dedicated their lives in educational work and the music program of the church and the other activities of the church that they may lead people to worship thee in truth and in spirit. Bless them in their studies. Bless them in their endeavors to prepare themselves for a life of service. Grant unto all of us this morning a cleansing from sin and renewed desire to seek thee and serve thee in accordance with thy will. In Jesus' name we pray.